Well, good morning, everyone. How are we all doing? Good. Wow, I just saw something I've never seen before, and I'm having a really hard time transitioning away from that. So, it says he made darkness his hiding place, his canopy around him, darkness of waters, thick clouds of the skies. Chew on that one, I guess. Romans chapter 8. I mean, there is a heavenly realm, amen? And there's an earthly realm, right? And God has bound us to this. He has bound us to the limitations of our habitation. We are bound by our time. I mean, he dwells in the eternal realm, and we are eternal, but we are made of this earth. So there is something that separates the two. Just saying. And I just find it fascinating that Psalm says God has wrapped himself in this, and there's something between him and his creation. Could be something in there. So, interesting. Okay, Romans chapter 8, and let's read verse 6 and 7. The mind set on the flesh is death, but the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Because the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God, it does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. Let's pray. Dear Father, Lord God, thank you so much for your grace. Thank you for the space that you give us to grow. We thank you so much, Lord, that with your Spirit, that Christ Jesus living in us, that we can take on that very same image, and that we can reflect your glory, Lord. Sometimes that process has its ups and its downs. We thank you that you are merciful and forgiving, and that you give us the space to grow, Lord. We thank you so much for your wisdom, for your church. Clearly you value. Appreciate that reminder on what you value, Lord. And so we thank you that you have set this up in the way that you have, that we have iron here so that we can sharpen one another and be encouraged as we go out into this world, but not be of it. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We know that everyone who is in Christ is a new creation. The old things have passed away, and behold, new things have come. And start doing a little digging into the New Testament to try to answer that question, what are the new things that have come? And guys, throughout the family camps, any chance you get to listen to maybe some other, preachers really work hard on the idea that new creations are just not old creations, just kind of, fixed up, right? I mean, what's new is new, all right? So much so that Paul says that if we have a fleshly mindset, that we're actually acting like mere men. And the implication there would be that we wouldn't be mere men, but that we would be reborn men. Okay, born from above, born of God, born of the Spirit. Okay, but the question is, what are the new things that have come? All right, now there's a lot to be said there, and not necessarily the point of the message this morning. But the point is that which is new is new. And if the old has been crucified and put to death, and new has been raised, then new is new. That makes sense? You can take an old car and you can restore it to new. That is not the Christian. God gets rid of the old car and just makes a completely brand new car that has never existed before. And it's in his image, okay, with his potential. All right? Now, that's a great thing. And it's called the new creation, and you've heard it 100 times this year, rightfully so. But this whole power of God in you, this ability to be like Christ, it all completely lies inactive in disbelief. Belief is the thing that powers the new creation. So we today gather in the name of Jesus Christ to proclaim his death until he comes to the world, that we bear the name Jesus and by that name willing to suffer and glorify his name. Amen? And we go throughout our lives, each one of us with our different pursuits and our positions and opinions and joys and talents, really are in a position of a spiritual mindset or a fleshly mindset. And not to simplify it, but the walk of the Christian really can be reduced to that. Is your mind set on things above? Or is it set on things of this earth? Is your mind set on the spirit? Or is it set on the flesh? The mind, the Holy Spirit says, set on the flesh is death. But the mind set on the spirit is life and peace. Now look. Anyone here interested in peace? How about life? Look, we know Romans 8 well. And maybe we can wrap our mind around a fleshly mindset is death. But when I read that, every time, I think that is what I want. I want life, and I want peace. Because does this earth provide either of those two things? It can't. In fact, the only reason life exists at all is because of God. And when it expires, it goes back to the earth from which it was made. Life and peace. But you see, for the Christian, only attainable through a spiritual mindset. A mind set on the Spirit. Heard a quote recently. Actually, the wife said it. I had to go look it up to make sure I got it right. And it said, if you're depressed, you're living in the past. And if you are anxious, you are living in the future. And if you are at peace, you are living in the present. Now look, you could substitute all sorts of things in there, right? I mean, it's a man-made quote. It's not perfect. And the way I first heard it was, is if you're angry, you're living in the past. If you're frustrated, you know, discontent, depressed, okay, your thoughts are being consumed about something that has happened in the past. Okay? Now, if you're worrying, which I don't tend to be too angry, don't feel all that depressed all that often, but I tend to worry. All right? So if you're worrying, then your mind is set on the future. And the problem with these two mindsets is you can control neither of these events because they've either already happened or they're in God's hands. And so the great challenge for mankind and for the Christian is to be present. Isn't it? I mean, boy, sometimes I get head nods every once in a while. Kevin gives me an amen. I mean, that's probably the most, like, head nods I've got in a year. Because this connects with people, right? Now, in my own life, the great challenge that I have faced in 30 years is to be present. And to my own discouragement, there's me worrying about the past, or thinking about the past, right? Too many times in my life, I've gone through events and great times and not been present because I was too busy being consumed about the past or worried about the future, right? Maybe it's a birthday party. Maybe it's just a conversation with someone in assembly, and all you can think about was that person you talked to before that, you know, wasn't all that nice. And that's something to think about. But the problem is the person that's standing before you is being robbed of your attention. It happens to me all the time. Yeah. The great challenge is to be present. Look, we can't, as Christians, be depressed. Okay? We gotta find a way to find life and peace. You go on over to John chapter 14. Now, I'm going to trust Jesus, okay, and take him at his word. John chapter 14. Verse 27. Peace I leave with you. My peace. Have you ever noticed that before? Like, I mean, we know what peace is, and sometimes there's peace between countries, there's peace between man and God, there's peace between you and other people, there's peace between you and yourself. Have you guys ever noticed that? You know, I mean, I don't know how much Canada actually does for you, but you're not necessarily at war with Canada. Okay? Your neighbor might not mow his lawn and his dandelions grow tall and never, you know, leaves junk in the yard and parks his car in front of your street. Okay? And that's not fun, but you're not at war with your neighbor. Do you know who you're typically usually not at peace with? Yourself. So there's all kinds of peace, and Jesus says, "My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives do I give. And do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be fearful." Look, we get caught in these traps where we're thinking about yesterday, an hour ago, a week ago. Maybe it's a lifetime of regret. Things we should have done differently. Okay? All you can do is do your best in the moment. Look, you're going to look back and realize there's a lot you should have done differently. Okay? But he says, Jesus says, "My peace I live with you." Not the world's peace. My peace. The peace that Jesus had that drove him to have a spiritual mindset all the way to and through the cross to the throne. It is possible as a Christian to have internal peace in this life through the Holy Spirit who indwells you. Okay? Going over to chapter 16 here in John, you know, similar thing. I don't know why this always sticks with me. Every once in a while when the kids are in school, they'll quote their verse and then I'll say, "Do you know what that means?" And they go, "Nope." It's like, okay, glad I asked, you know. And then I usually ask them, "Well, what's your favorite verse?" And I'll never forget, I mean, I asked that same question to Caleb Wilson and just bang on the spot, John 16:33. Maybe if you see him again, ask him, you know, maybe it'll be different today, but I'll never forget that. John 16:33 says, "These things I've spoken to you so that in me you may have peace. In the world you have tribulation, but take courage, I have overcome the world." And I have to point out the obvious here, like the opposite of courage is discourage. So like, don't fret, don't be fearful, don't lack courage. We can have courage. Because we have Jesus Christ. So, if you're angry, resentful, unforgiving, depressed, sad, whatever, your mind is set on the past. And if you're anxious and worrying, your mind is set on things that have yet to happen, both of which you have no control over. And the great challenge is to be present. Present and positive. Isn't it? Because it is really easy to point fingers. It is really easy to see what's wrong. Because we know what we like and we know what we don't like. Think about food, for example. Like, I walk in the house and I'm like, "Oh, Sam made potatoes again." Like, don't get me wrong, I like a good potato. But there was a stretch there where it was breakfast, lunch, and dinner, potatoes. Look, we know what we like and we know what we don't like. And so when we walk into the presence of something we don't like, I mean, it knocks us back and we go, "Ew!" Okay? Well, that's true with personalities. Maybe half of you don't even like my mannerisms. I don't know. Maybe it's hard to stomach me every Lord's Day, I guess. You know, the point is look, we know what we like and what... You people who are smiling extra big, I saw you. But see, I can't be upset because that would be a mindset on the past, right? And I also can't be upset because I handed it to you for you to take. So if I'm going to dish it out, I got to take it. But the point is, the challenge is to be present, but it's also to be positive. Because it's easy to see what's wrong. It's easy to see, so-and-so, there they go again. You know, it's like, and most of the time it's just your opinion, not a matter of scripture. Certainly not a matter of salvation. And these things, they're little thoughts that we don't take captive, and they come in, and then because they're not taken captive, they take root, and then they spring up. And pretty soon, we got a negative mindset. But we're negative towards ourselves. Mindset is powerful. Mindset. I don't know how good this... I don't know how good this example is. Ghosts, as the world would portray them, is quite inaccurate, actually. First comes death, and then comes judgment. No such thing as a soul getting trapped on earth. Okay? You die, and you pass on into the next life. All right? We can debate the other stuff later. There's evil that works among us. It did in Jesus' day, and it does today. But mindset's incredibly powerful. So let's put two people in a house, and at about 2 in the morning, let's get the hardwood baseboards creaking, the pots and the pans in the kitchen a rumbling, okay? Get a nice little whoosh, you know, little wind blowing through, okay? Person A wakes up and they believe in ghosts. Okay? And they're terrified, you know? I mean, under the covers, right? You know, scared, probably up all night, certainly can't go back to sleep because they believe in ghosts. Person B doesn't believe in ghosts, right? So they hear the clang, clang, bang, and, you know, they're in Airbnb, and they just think, you know, mice got on the kitchen counter again, and, you know, and they're kind of knocking everything over, right? And then, bang, right back to sleep. I don't know if it's a really good example, but it does show the power of mindset, doesn't it? Because there is a reality, and I know our world would like to say that that doesn't exist, but there is a reality. There is what is exactly playing out in front of you, and just because you look at it from a different perspective does not make truth not truth. It does not. The only thing that's different is the mindset. One person is filled with anxiety and will not sleep the rest of the night simply because of what they believe. And the other person lays their head back down and is back asleep 5 minutes later, restful and peaceful, simply because of what they believe. How powerful is mindset? Now that is, do ghosts or ghosts not exist? Can you imagine the weight of the eternal battle in the spiritual realm that's being waged right now? And how powerful your mindset is on how that plays out in your own life. Get the negative thoughts out. And when they creep in, take them captive. Don't allow it. Look, you don't have to hit rock bottom to remind yourself of how blessed you are. You know, I've been encouraging people lately, and I've been saying, you know, hey, I mean, no matter, in Sunday school today, no matter what happens, right? No matter what comes out of your mouth, and whether someone thinks you're silly, or whether you say the wrong thing, like, at the end of the day, Christians have eternal life with God. Most of us, everyone here, have beautiful families. Things that we can be proud of, like in the right sense, not filled with pride. And little things like, oh, well, I'm not good at math. It's a negative thought. Ditch it. Oh, well, I'm not funny, or nobody likes me. No. Negative thoughts. You got to get them out. But we have to be present. Turn on over to Matthew chapter 6. What I wanted to do here for my last 5 minutes. Oh boy. Is not limited to, but look at some things in the New Testament that God has in place that put us in the right mindset. Okay? Maybe for many of us, you know, January 1st is an opportunity to choose a different mindset. And it could be a mindset around how many books I want to read this year. It could be a mindset on how I want to be more positive this year. It could be a mindset of I want to eat more donuts this year, you know? I mean, you know, yeah. You know, that's the cool thing is it gets to be whatever you want it to be, right? But we call them resolutions because we are resolving within ourselves to do it. Do you think Christians need resolve? Okay, so what are some things that we can just see real quick that God has set in place that sets our resolve on things of the Spirit? You see, because I give you some examples here to show you, just being worry warts or being kind of tend to being someone who tends to be resentful and angry all the time, you're either living in the past or you're living in the future. The challenge is to live now. Okay? Well, how closely tied do you think that is to having a spiritual mindset? Because it's the flesh that worries. It's the flesh that divides. It's the flesh that hates and despises and sees the negative. It's not the Spirit. It's not God. It's not God's Spirit. These things are very closely tied. Okay? And so we want to be those who are in a spiritual mindset. Okay? Now there's going to be resolution type things that God has set that are going to put us in a spiritual mindset. Okay? Matthew chapter 6, verse 33. Well, let's go back to verse 31. Don't worry. See, don't be worrying about tomorrow. Okay, don't worry about what we will eat, what we will drink, or what we will wear for clothing. The Gentiles eagerly seek all these things, and your heavenly Father knows you need these things. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Let's just start with this one alone. We've been rescued from the domain of darkness. Amen? And transferred into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So the church is the kingdom of Jesus Christ, which is kind of fitting because he's the king. Which reminds me, I got a question for Kevin later. King of Kings. Pretty cool. That's not just Donald J. Trump, is it? We're the kings that Jesus is king of. Okay? So, we've been transferred into Jesus' kingdom. We're supposed to seek that kingdom. And so that's why the past few months here, you've been hearing from me, seek the kingdom, seek the kingdom, seek the kingdom. And then when Kevin comes up here and reminds us that he's been telling you guys for 20 years to seek the kingdom, because he says, know Christ, know who you are in Christ, and know your purpose. Know your purpose is seek the kingdom, right? That's what it is. Seek the kingdom, okay? Now, so let's just, I got four of them, and I'll get through them here. But let's look at this first one. If the church is on the forefront of your mind this week, and Jesus' righteousness is on the forefront of your mind this week, what do you think that's going to do for your mindset? Spiritual or fleshly? Yeah. And how cool is that? I mean, what if I asked you, what does seek Jesus' righteousness mean? I told you what seek his kingdom means. That's a pretty fancy New Testament thing. Seek Jesus' righteousness. Well, what does that mean? What if the person you're Bible studying with said, you know, what does the Holy Spirit mean when it says seek Jesus' righteousness? What does that mean? Yeah. Yeah. To do what's right? Yeah. So if that is on the forefront of your mind, right? To do what's right. Not because it's the commandment, but because we do it because we love God, right? And then seeking the church, what's that going to do for our mindset? And that was just the first one, Luke chapter 19. Okay. Luke chapter 19, verse 10. The Son of Man has come to seek and to save that which was lost. You know, please listen to the adverb I'm using here. We do not typically get to walk around telling people that they're not Christians and they're going to hell. Okay. But if you're going to seek that which is lost, should you be able to identify what's lost? You see the difference? You see how important the word typically is? So, you're seeking Jesus' righteousness. So, you've got your spiritual house in order. Right? You're seeking Jesus' church. So, now your mind is set on the brethren. Thirdly, you're considering that which is lost. Two verses. And if you will take the challenge this week to set your mind on those three things and those two verses, how do you think your mindset's going to be? you won't have time to worry about tomorrow. You won't have time to regret 10 years. You will be consumed with doing right because Jesus does what's right. You will be consumed with the brethren and those who are suffering and need help and could use encouragement. And everybody else, near as you can tell, probably lost. Would that change the way... Okay, you're still going to honk at them when they cut you off, right? Beep. But does that maybe move the horn honk from like 5 seconds long to maybe like 1 second long? Right? Boy, I'll really show them. I'll just push my horn for five. Oh, I showed them. You know. And, you know, they didn't know they cut me off, but now they know because I honked at them. You know. They knew they cut you off. You see what I'm saying? What if you could do those three things this week? You don't have time to be grumpy. You're talking to someone whose soul isn't on the path to heaven. How can you make that conversation spiritual? Hey, maybe consider your own example, right? Talking with someone, like they ain't going to listen to you if you're using the same four-letter words they're using. Why would they listen to you? You're not seeking Jesus' righteousness. Okay, mindset. See, what we got to do is we got to put it on spiritual things. Colossians chapter 3. You knew I was going there. Good job. Colossians chapter 3, verse 1. Therefore, if you've been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Okay. I like to share questions that I've had myself and have worked my way through because I've learned that we all have similar questions. Because I answer questions all week. I just told you to have a spiritual mindset, and the spiritual mindset activates the new creation, which empowers you to be like Christ. That's the message so far, actually. And the challenge is to either have a spiritual mindset or a fleshly mindset, and if you're a worrywart or you're always kind of angry or just flat out depressed, it's a fleshly mindset. Okay? So the challenge is to be present and positive, and the way you're going to do that is by setting your mind on spiritual things. And I showed you the church, his righteousness, and the lost. And the next one I showed you was spiritual things. So the message up to this point has been set your mind on spiritual things, and then I read a verse saying set your mind on spiritual things. I mean, how much did that add to the message? Well, you know what it isn't? It's not setting your mind on earthly things. It sounds a whole lot like whatever is true, whatever is lovely, true, honorable, whatever is right, righteousness, whatever is pure, lovely, and good repute. Some of you are hesitating because you have different translations. I've never understood that verse in the King James. If you've ever read it, I don't know how that works itself out. But if it's good and it's true and honorable and lovely and good, that's what you set your mind on. That's setting your mind on things above. You know what it's not? Negativity. How do we stop being so negative towards ourselves? Selling ourselves short. I can't do this. I don't do that. We've got to be positive. We've got to set our mind on things above. Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, verse 12 says, "So then, my beloved, just as you have always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling." I can't help but think like a parent. Paul's like, since you have always obeyed when I was there and also when I was not there. It's like, okay, if you can get them to do what you need them to do when you're not there, like, you're close, right? You've almost arrived, all right? Because that's the challenge, is to get people to do things because they want to do it, because they care about what's right. You think God's doing that with us? I mean, that's the answer to why there's bad in this world, if you want to go down that road. Okay, he's got to let us choose. And those who sift through what's right and what's wrong and choose what's right partake of Jesus' righteousness. And they obey the gospel. But you're supposed to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Well, I thought you weren't supposed to be afraid. So why is it fear? Why is it reverence? Healthy dose of respect. Because it's serious. The most important thing on earth. Your salvation. And you got to work it out. That makes sense? Paul said, and this is a good way to close. Paul said his wish would be that he would be cut off and severed from Christ if it would bring about the salvation of the nation of Israel. You ever chewed on that before? Would you turn it all in so a billion could be saved? And here's what I thought. Do you believe Paul would do it? Do you know why he doesn't? Because nothing can separate him from the love of Christ Jesus, which is in God. You ever thought about that? The only thing you can do is throw it away. You can't trade it in. Look, there are many of us here today that I think would turn in our eternities just for the eternities of our children. Let alone them and, 2 billion more people. I think enough of us have humbled ourselves to where, you would do that. Guess what? You can't. That's why Paul didn't. Nothing. Death, life, things present, things to come, principalities, nothing can separate us from the love of God which is found in Christ Jesus. The only thing that does is when you throw it away. So, you got to work it out. Work out your salvation with fear and trembling. Now, how many of us here have seen others struggle and wanted so badly to encourage them, to help them, to give them what they need, and it never helps? At the end of the day, seeking Jesus' righteousness has to come from inside ourselves. Look, we're committed to Jesus' kingdom, but people struggle. We are committed to sharing the message to that which is lost, but people throw it away. And then people become Christians, and then they throw their salvation away over the silliest of things and arguments. Silliest. And we want to encourage and help those people, but every single one of us individually will make it because deep down inside ourselves, we went and fought for it. That's a work of faith the New Testament talks about. Mindset is incredibly powerful. Look, the research we have now backs it up. Backs it up. You can actually see the neuroplasticity of the mind reforming on a screen when people change their thinking. God designed that, didn't he? How cool is that? And you know why he designed it? So the old things can pass away and new things can come. So you can lay aside the deeds of darkness and put on Christ Jesus. That's the new creation. And the thing that plugs it into the outlet that turns on the lights of this whole mechanism is a spiritual mindset. A spiritual mindset. We got to get our worries about tomorrow and cast them on to Christ Jesus, like Paul said to the Philippians. We got to take our negative thoughts, our negative emotions, and our regrets, and our anger, and our lack of mercy and forgiveness, and we got to throw that away because those are buried with the old man. And we got to be present and positive. Amen? Let's stand. How was the front row? Did you survive? It's a little louder up here, isn't it? She's like, yeah, let's pray. Dear Lord God, we thank you so much, Lord. You are perfect love. you have, I mean, you've never failed as a father. You've handled every scenario perfect. You've given us the perfect advice. You have so many children and you love them all so much. The Bible says that each one of us has gone astray, each one of us to his own way. And when Paul's writing the book of Romans, he can even go as far to say that there is even none good. There's none who do righteous. We thank you that mankind on his own, although isn't enough, can be reborn again. We can be made into your image, and we can be good because we have goodness in us. We have your righteousness. Thank you for the reminder that you give us. Thank you for the assemblies, you know, for your word, for fellowship, the opportunity to be together as a church, to seek your goodness and your righteousness as you have left it for us in your word. And these things that you've told us to think about, that if we will make us present and positive, like the lost and the church and our salvation. May we put our mind on these things this week and go out and be spiritual giants for you with spiritual mindsets, not to glorify ourselves, but you, O Lord God. It's in your name that we pray, Jesus Christ. Amen.